Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Kane. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
Gentlemen, I'm afraid today's show is not going to be a very upbeat show, but it's going to be a very important show. Maybe one of the more important ones that we've done here on As I See It, because I think it's time to sound the alarm. I think we can now officially say, beyond anyone's doubt, that war has been declared. The war is on. And we're currently fighting the war, and it's not with Russia, and it's not with China, and it's not with Saudi Arabia or anywhere else. It's right here at home. The war's been declared. They've been battling for a while, but only one side has really been fighting. And that's the problem. When only one side fights, it's very, very easy to take over a lot of territory very quickly. And unfortunately, that is what has happened. But I think there is no more clear evidence than the despicable, disgusting events that occurred in Tennessee with the school shooting. Now, I'm not going to mention the shooter's name on this show because I do not want to give that name any credence or any publicity of any kind. Not necessary. But I think that it's time to come to some reality here. We have seen 6 people die, 3 children, 8 or 9 years old, for no good reason. And we have seen how the left has reacted to this. Now, yes, I expected them to call for further gun bans because that's what they do. And yes, I expected it to be a big political football because that's what ends up happening. And probably the most important yes is I do understand. Believe me when I tell you, I am not immune to hearing and understanding that rhetoric on both sides can cause things like this. I understand that if right-wing conservatives are saying, they're murdering babies in the abortion clinic, and it's murder, it's murder, it's murder, and then some nut, because you think you're talking to normal people most of the time. So you think normal people are going to be like, yeah, in a sense it is murder and it's outrageous, and we should try our best to put an end to it legally. But you're always going to find some nut who says, I'm going to blow it up. And then, of course, the left will say, you see what your dangerous rhetoric did? It landed in the ears of a nut who then blew up an abortion clinic. And then the right do the same thing, and they say, well, when the left say, we're the Republicans are trying to put people back in chains. They're trying to push grandma off the cliff. And then some guy shows up at a baseball field with a gun and starts trying to fire on the Republicans that are there. Then the right says, you see what your dangerous rhetoric did? It fell into the ears of a crazy person. So I understand it works both ways. But that's not what happened here, folks. If that was all that happened here, as tragic as it still would be, I would say it's very difficult to stop a complete madman or madwoman from just going berserk and doing something. I mean, there's nothing stopping me right now from, if I had weapons or something, to just walk into any place and just start firing. If there's no advance warning, I'm going to do anything. But that's not what happened. What happens is far more insidious. I wonder how many people are aware that Antifa was hosting a day of vengeance for the transgender community. A day of vengeance. What is vengeance, folks? Not a day of pride, not a day of celebration, not a day of expression, a day of vengeance. And they're still hosting it. I wonder if you realize that some talk show hosts, particularly a guy from the Young Turks, had said, the only people who should legally be able to have guns in this country are the transgenders because they're being set upon. The transgenders should pick up their guns. Lori Lightfoot said they should pick up their guns. This was not political rhetoric falling into the ears of a crazy person. This was actual calls for violence being answered by a crazy person, and there is a difference. Political rhetoric, you can blame it on, well, somebody took that way, way, way too far. We realize that a lot of people on the right think abortion is murder. We realize a lot of people on the left think that the right, for some reason, are fascists, and this, we get it. But these people took it way too far. No, no. This would have been the equivalent of having a politician come out and say, you know, we should start assassinating these Republicans. Well, then that's not dangerous rhetoric. That is 100% a call to violence, and that's exactly what happened. They called for violence. They called for the transgender community to begin to eliminate and exterminate the people who will not accept them. And who would those people be? Well, those people would be, of course, the religious, because they believe that God created you and that you should stay the way you are, the way God created you. But there's even more nefarious reasons for this. You see, because the radical left, they need to get rid of your morals. They need to get rid of your churches. They need to get rid of the people who have a sense of right and wrong, because what they're about to do to this country is wrong. You know, we often ask ourselves, maybe in school, in Germany, when all of this was happening with the Jews and the Polish and everything, were there no people who stood up and said, wait a minute, okay, but you know, maybe we're fighting a war, but you can't do this to these people. That's barbaric. That's horrible. That's unacceptable. The answer is no, not really. And I'll tell you why no, not really. Because they dehumanized them. They made them think wrong is right. And they made them think it was in the greater good of their country and the world. And that's what's happening right now in this country. You want my proof? I know a lot of people are going to say, well, that's just you bloviating. And no, it's not. Jocelyn Berry, who happens to be the press secretary for Katie Hobbs, who may or may not be a legal representative of Arizona, depending on what you feel about the voting there. A few hours after the shooting, not before the shooting, a few hours after the shooting, posted a picture, a meme, of a woman with two pistols in her hand, firing, and it read, "Us when we see transphobic." Let that sink in for a minute. So her initial reaction to 9-year-old children being murdered is to say, you go, girl. Man, whatever you are, you go. That is our reaction when we see transphobics. Hooray for this. That's what she tweeted. And you think they don't purposely fan the flames of this? That was, you may as well have just put a thumbs up. You may as well have just said, good going, the war's begun, we win the first battle. There were journalists who had their tweets removed, or they removed them themselves after they came to their senses and realized, oh, this may not be a good look for me. One journalist in particular wrote, I guess they just didn't pray hard enough. What is that supposed to mean? Well, I'll tell you what it's supposed to mean. It's supposed to mean like, oh, how come your God didn't save you? Maybe you just didn't pray hard enough, or those children would still be alive. Maybe it's all just a lie that you believe in, you stupid simpleton. How's that for proving your God is impotent, impotent, whatever? That's what it meant. Gleefully, gleefully posting, hey, God didn't save you. Guess you believe in the wrong God because he didn't save you. Or, hey, you go, you're a transgender person and they were treating you badly. You go and you teach them a lesson. 9-year-old children. 9-year-old children. Because they don't care. Care, the war has been declared, and the war is against the moral and the immoral, and that is all there is to it. And this is coming from someone who is not religious. I'm telling you this straight out. I know there are many people who listen to my show who are religious. I'm glad you are. I respect and appreciate your religion. I'm just not a very religious person. But I'm also not blind. And I clearly understand what's going on in this country is a war against, specifically against Christianity, but also against a lot of other religions as well. And the reason for it, you ask? The reason for it is we cannot have, or they cannot have, a generation of children growing up understanding what is right and what is wrong, which is the very foundation of most religions, right? That's what you teach. You don't do this. You don't do that. Now, I've said on this show before, and I will say it again. We recently had a law here in San Francisco that if you don't shoplift more than $750 worth of stuff, you can't really be busted for it and you can't really stop them. I wouldn't take so much as a stick of gum. You know why I wouldn't take so much as a stick of gum? Not because I fear burning in hell. Not because I fear going to jail, because there's no law that's apparently going to stop me, because it's not right. It's not mine. And that's the principles I grew up with. They want to eliminate those principles. In fact, it's not that they want to. They have to. They have to eliminate those very fundamental principles from your children and even your older children so that the next generation grows up thinking what they are doing is okay. But it's not okay. It's not. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I have friends who are gay. I have friends who are lesbians. They're wonderful people. They're kind people. They're smart people. And they're not immoral people. And they don't agree with this either, by the way. But I am going to tell you this. Your sexual preference is one thing. When you actually get to the point where you say, I am going to physically change my body through surgery, I would suggest that that is a mental illness. It's a mental illness. And it's one that needs to be addressed. When someone says that, it's not to say, you go, express yourself. Your first step is to say, I think we need to talk about this and you need to talk to a professional. And after all the talking is done and you've had your counseling, you've had a deep dive into what could make you this way, then perhaps, if that's what you insist upon and you're an adult, I can't stop you. But our first step should be, this is a mental psychosis. Do you know there's actually a diagnosis for this? It's called gender dysphoria. It's on the book. As a mental illness. So I'm not making it up. There's an actual mental disease, gender dysphoria. But now what are they teaching your children? They're teaching them, no, if you feel that way at 8, it's fine. You should go get puberty blockers. And if the parents will not allow it, well, we should be allowed to do it without the parents' consent. We'll do what we want. Yeah, I had someone argue with me the other day, and they said, I thought you believed that parents should have the 100% right to decide about any medical treatment given to their child. And I said, I do. Of course I do. Any rational, sane human being does. And they said, okay, well, then how come they can't decide if their child wants to have a sex change? And I told him very simply, because it's not a medical condition, it's a mental condition. That's the reason. For the same reason, your child, you cannot say, well, my child's body, my child's choice. My child decided he wants to sleep with the 80-year-old neighbor next door who gives him lollipops because it's child abuse and it's a mental dysfunction. We're not talking about a medical procedure that a child is in desperate need of. We're talking about a choice that a child does not have the actual mental capacity to understand. But you see how they try to trap you, folks? They try to make you the hypocrite, but we're not. They are. Their battle cry has always been diversity. You must accept everyone. You accept the gays and the lesbians and the bisexuals and the transsexuals and the pronouns and everyone. Accept everyone. Accept Christians. Don't accept them. They're evil. Accept Republicans. Don't accept them. They're evil. Their idea of diversity is look the way you want, but think the exact same way as us, or be ostracized, and possibly be jailed or worse. That's their utopia, folks. That's what they want for this country. Tennessee school shooting deleted tweet. To see if that reporter's tweet saying, "I guess you just didn't pray hard enough," would come up. Guess what came up? Marjorie Taylor Greene, a known fascist. Marjorie Taylor Greene, a known racist. Marjorie Taylor Greene, a fanatic, has had her tweet removed saying that Antifa has called for a transgender day of vengeance. Except it's the truth. Why did you take down something that's the truth? They didn't deny it. You can go see the poster. Not like it doesn't exist. Oh, but that's the only thing you can come up with on Google search, huh? That search should have brought up that guy's post first thing, right? Oh, no. I went through 6 pages. I can't find it. I found it, finally found it. But it took me 8-9 pages of scrolling. The first results are always known racist. Known? Known to who? See, they always do that. Oh, if you think that Antifa called for a day of transgender vengeance, then you must be a racist. You must be a fascist. You must be a bigot. Go to their site. They got a website. There's the poster. So don't tell me it's not true. It is true. They just don't want you to know it. Because then you might do something to stop it. I want you to understand that yesterday, 50-plus schools across the United States of America were on lockdown because there was a supposed gunman. 50. Not 5. 50. You think that's an accident? You think just out of the random clear blue sky, 50 people called in with threats at the same time all over the United States? That was just a coincidence. You don't think that's organized? 50? Come on, folks. Pull your head out of your ass. They've declared war on you. Because they know you won't fight back. It's very easy for a bully to bully someone who they clearly know will never, ever throw a punch. Now, I'm not suggesting anyone throw any punches or any violence, so please don't give me that crapola. What I'm telling you is it's time to stand up and say, enough. We're not having this. You're not going to sexualize our children. You're not going to transform them into something that you think they might want to be someday. You're not going to drag them into drag queen story hour. You're not going to sexualize them in any manner. And you're sure as hell not going to kill them in our school. You know what the interesting thing is in this country? Everybody wants to get rid of the guns as if that's going to solve the problem. Okay, well, I got a really novel idea. Let's make drugs illegal, and then no one will have them. Oh, we already did? And they still have them? Well, that's amazing. How can that be? We outlawed them. Still getting them, you say? How could they get them? Oh, people are selling it on the black market. Oh. You don't think that's going to happen to guns? You think someone who has such a vengeance to kill that could point a gun, I want you to understand this. This is going to be hard for you to listen to. I don't care. Listen to it and please learn from it. One of those 9-year-old children self-sacrificed herself and ran to the fire alarm to pull it so that she could warn the entire school that there was something wrong and maybe get them out of the building. That evil piece of garbage pointed that gun at that 9-year-old girl and pulled the trigger, didn't even know her name. Didn't even know her name. These are the people you're dealing with, folks. And instead of the left saying this is the most tragic, horrific thing that we could possibly think of, they say maybe they just didn't pray hard enough. Wasn't that a Christian school? Ah, where was God? I mean, you can't get lower than this. When are you going to understand that you can't get lower than this? Now, I'm not talking about your moderate, middle-of-the-road Democrat who lives next door to you and comes over and has a pool party with you and says, I disagree on foreign policy. That's not the guy that's your enemy. These radicals that have taken over the Democratic Party, they are your enemies. They are not out for your best interest. They don't even want you in the picture. They want a world of people who think, act, and look exactly like them, and that's it. And in order for them to achieve that, they have to brainwash your children so that the next generation grows up thinking wrong is right. And when we stop them from brainwashing our children, when the pandemic hit and parents could actually listen to the lessons that were being taught in school, we found out you're not educating our children, you are indoctrinating our children, and parents rightfully became angry. And guess what Merrick Garland's DOJ did about that? Oh, parents are angry about us indoctrinating their children? Well, then they must be domestic terrorists. And I think we're going to have to look at all their social media posts, we're going to have to pull their taxes, we're going to have to look in every corner to find out if they've committed a crime or not, because we can't have that. We have to get on with the indoctrination. We can't have parents being a stumbling block to our greater mission. That's what they did. That's not up for debate. It's a fact. That's what they did. You could go to a liquor shop. You could go to a pot shop, but you couldn't go to church. And you know why they didn't want you to go to church during the pandemic? Because they wanted people to start questioning their faith. They figured this. They figured if people would say, well, wait a minute. I don't fear this pandemic. God will protect me. I'm going to worship in his name. But if they forced your pastors and your priests to close those churches, you'd say, how much faith could he really or she really have? That was the game, folks. They were trying to get you to denounce your religion and say, maybe the faith isn't as strong as I thought if our leaders won't stand up. That's why God bless the people who said, I'm not closing the churches. The people, you know, that they handcuffed, that they sent the police in for to handcuff and drag away like criminals because they said, I'm opening my church and let the people come in and worship at a time when they need it the most. But they didn't haul away the guy that's selling booze. Now, I don't have anything against the guy selling booze. He's making a living. Good for him that they let it stay open. But let me tell you this. They didn't let the churches, did they? Why do you think that is? Think that's as plain as the nose on your face? Stop them from worshiping. Make them question their own faith. Make them question the faith of the person who's leading that church. Because the person who's leading that church should be like, no, I'm opening. I have faith that God will protect us in this pandemic, and I have faith that he'll protect our our congregation, and I'm opening the church. Oh, and some did. And guess what happened to them? They were criminals. Just like the parents were criminals who said, I'm sorry, but I think it's inappropriate that you took my child to a drag show where a man in a thong is twerking and singing songs about oral sex. Well, then you must be a domestic terrorist. What rational human being would have any objection to that? You see the game they're playing, folks? It's a long-term game. They know this isn't going to happen tomorrow or next year or 5 years from now. But they know your 8-year-olds are going to be 18-year-olds one day. And if they can put them in the right frame of mind, if they can indoctrinate them from the time they are young until they are young adults, they will have themselves a new generation of groupthink sheeple who will do nothing except what they want them to do. And this is why it was so important during this pandemic when they were hauling people who were leading the churches out in handcuffs for people to say, oh, no, enough. We're not having this. But everyone was in fear. Oh, I don't know. If it doesn't kill me, maybe it's going to kill grandma if I go to church. And what happens if that happens? And then I'll feel responsible for the rest of my life. They blackmailed you. They used your own fear and your own emotions and your own worry about your family to convince you that you needed to give up the things in your life that they wanted you to give up. Notice they didn't ask you to give up the thing in your life that they didn't want you to give up. Booze, pot. Didn't ask you to give that up. Give up your faith. Simple as that. Now, I know a lot of people are going to ask me, well, if you're not religious, why are you saying this, that, and the other thing? Because here's the simple fact, folks. If you have a neighborhood and it's filled with Antifa members, or you have a neighborhood and it's filled with Christians, which neighborhood would you want to live in? I'll tell you, it'd take me 1 second to tell you, Christians. Because, no, they're not perfect. And, yeah, there might be a little crime or something like that, but it's not going to be a fascist regime where people are burning down everybody's houses. So, yeah, they fear religion because it's the one thing they can't conquer. They can't conquer people with a sense of morals. They can't do it because the people will not allow it. So they got to stop it. And that's what they're trying to do. This shooter that went in there had a manifesto. She had clearly told, and yes, I'm calling her she, and I don't give a damn. She had told her friend, not only am I going to do this, but I fully intend on dying today. And I have left enough evidence behind. This is exactly what she said. I have left enough evidence behind so that you will clearly understand why this had to happen in a very short period of time. Let's fast forward to Merrick Garland, who was asked directly yesterday. Is this an act of hate? Is this a hate crime? What does he say? I really don't know. That would be up to the FBI, and the FBI has this under investigation, and I'm really not at liberty to discuss an ongoing investigation, so I would have to defer that to the FBI. What is your opinion of it, though? I can't say, because that would be wrong for me to say when the FBI is investigating. Well, the FBI's had the manifesto for days. They know exactly why this person did it. Exactly why. You don't. You know why you don't? Because it doesn't suit their narrative. Person did it because they were Christian. This person did it because they went to this Christian school and somehow they feel that they were excommunicated from it in some weird way or shunned. And said, I'm just going to take it out on a 9-year-old. Because we're going to send a clear message. And you know what that message is? Send your children to Christian school at your own peril. If you try to instill in your children the values and morals of what is wrong and right in this country, they are not safe. And you're not safe. That's what they were trying to do, folks. Transgender Day of Vengeance? Vengeance for what? Vengeance for what, folks? My God, let's go back in history. Before I was even alive, there were people who were transgender. What was the name of the tennis player? Rene Richards or something, right? Yeah, Rene Richards. Dr. Rene Richards was a man who transitioned into a woman. He was beaten up. Wasn't vilified. Bruce Jenner ran for governor of California. Don't tell me you're being victimized. This is all a victim mentality because they need them. They know some of these people are mentally unstable. So they figure if we stir the pot with the mentally unstable, they'll act. And then we'll say, well, it's horrific, but what are you going to do? You know, like the Kennedy assassination, you know, they wanted Kennedy gone. So they figure, well, we can get Oswald. He's not wrapped too tight. We push his buttons in the right way, and he'll do what we want. Well, that's the game they're playing now. They're trying to convince African Americans that white people are evil, and they only want to destroy them. The cops want to shoot them. They've been oppressed, and they're not successful because of white people. So they hope that they'll be violent. And then they'll denounce the violence, but they'll say, well, what do you expect from these people? They've been oppressed for so long, and they're finally, you know, justifiably having their day of vengeance. Then they do it with the gays and the lesbians and the transgenders and everybody else. But you notice the Christians, they can't be outraged. If they're outraged, then they're religious zealots, right? If they're outraged about something, it's, oh, well, look at you being a zealot. But they can be zealots all they want. That's the thing that baffles me. I just don't understand why people can't see that. And again, you don't have to be religious to see it because I'm not religious. And I see it just as clear as the nose on anybody's face. I mean, you literally have to be blind not to see this. And you literally have to be evil not to stand up and say it's wrong. If this was happening to any other religion, I would still stand up and say it's wrong. Wrong is wrong. But they want to blur the line. They want to make it so wrong isn't wrong. They want to make it so wrong is right. And we're seeing it more and more and more every day. On a side note that has nothing to do with this shooting, we saw a supposed independent, but clearly a Democrat, journalist by the name of Mike Taibbi testify before the House about the collusion that went on between Twitter and Facebook and everybody and the government to keep information away from the citizen. To his credit, despite the fact that he is not a member of the Republican Party, he said, I'm blowing the whistle on this because I'm an honest journalist, at least, and I'm going to tell the truth. And the truth is, you did do it. The truth is you did lie about stuff, and you colluded with the government, and you colluded with the White House, and you colluded with the FBI and the Department of Justice to do it. And I have the proof. While he is testifying, the IRS is knocking on his door, putting up a note saying, we're going to be back here in a couple of days. What do you think that means? Do you know what the chances are that the IRS picks that day and that man to supposedly audit and come to his house personally without sending him a letter first? I'm a person who actually was audited once. I got a letter. I got a letter saying you're being audited. Nobody came to my house. They come to his house to send a message, and the message is you better shut up. You better learn to shut up, and you better learn to shut up quick. Just like the message was in Tennessee. You better not send your children to a Christian school. And you better openly accept transgender as legitimate. And here's the thing. I've not met any Christians. Maybe they exist. I'm sure maybe they do. I've not met any who said adults who want to do that should just be left alone. Let them do what they want to do. You may not agree with it. They may say, I think it's wrong, and I think it's blasphemous against God, but they don't wish them ill. Time you saw a Christian storm into a drag queen event and start shooting people. I'll wait. I've never seen it. I've never seen it. Because it doesn't happen. Because for the most part, for the greater part, Christians are just like, well, okay, do your own thing. I think you're wrong, and I disagree with you, and, you know, but you do you. But they don't want you to do you. See, if tomorrow morning I said, I don't know, I think I'm going to change my name to Mary and wear a dress, I would expect my friends to call me Mary. I would not expect my friends to say I was a woman. I would not expect my friends to change their moral values to suit me. And that's my friends. So I sure as hell wouldn't expect strangers to change their moral values to suit me. Why do we have to change our moral values to suit such a small minority of people? Why do we have to do that? Why does that person care what I think to go into a school and open fire on 9-year-old children? Because you have to think what they think. Because if you don't, you break the illusion. I am a man, and I'm going to prove it to the world. You don't think I'm a man? Okay, well, I'll go shoot up some schools. That'll teach you that you have to say I'm a man. Why do I have to say you're a man? Why does it matter to you? I've used this analogy before. Maybe, you know, maybe I go visit someone and they say, oh, well, he's a very handsome guy. And, you know, the sister says, I think he's ugly. Should I then say, oh, no, you have to say I'm handsome, too. And if you don't say I'm handsome, too, I'm going to get a gun and I'm going to go shoot up some schools. Does that make sense to you? So why do they care what you think? As long as you're not mistreating someone, and I've not heard them mistreated. Yes, of course, there are people who will beat up somebody's in a dress. I get it. That's happened forever. When I was in school, that happened. That's never going to end. You're always going to have people like that. What the hell does that have to do with a 9-year-old? There are people who will beat up people because their hair is red like mine. There are people who will beat up people because they're fat, not skinny. They'll beat up people who are skinny and not fat. They'll beat up people who like a different baseball team. They'll beat up people who dress differently. That's what happens in the world. You're not ending that, and you're sure as hell not ending it by picking up a gun and going to a school. But having said that, I do want to talk about these brave police officers, but what I want to say, I don't want this to get misconstrued in any way, shape, or form, so let me say it very clearly. These guys wasted no time in going in. You can listen to the tapes. You can listen to the body cam footage. And they literally are like, go, 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 in, the minute they got there. They did not hesitate. They were absolute professionals. They found the threat, and they eliminated it. Having said that, I have heard so many people say the response time was amazing. 14 minutes, and they were in that school. 14 minutes is unacceptable, folks. I know they can't get there any quicker. What happens if they're 10 minutes away? I know they can't get there any quicker, but 14 minutes is still unacceptable. Do you know how many people you can shoot in 14 minutes? That's why you have to have someone already in that school who is armed and prepared to defend your children. You have to. Go into any bank. You'll see an armed guard. Is our money more important than our children? Oh, we got to defend that money. Not your kids. That would be outrageous if there was somebody on the premises with a gun. That would just be send a horrible signal. What horrible signal would that send? That we love our children and we're trying to protect them? That we don't trust people because there's way too much school violence? Why can't we have that? Well, we just don't have the money for it, but we have billions of dollars to send to the Ukraine. That we have. We have millions and millions of dollars to send to North Korea for transgender studies. We have that. We have all kinds of money to make sure the National Guard is standing out in front of the Capitol building for weeks and weeks on end, protecting those people in that building. Remember what happened to the people who weren't even armed that went into the Capitol building? Shot dead. Ashley Babbitt was shot dead. Didn't even have a weapon. Just entered the building and shot dead. Oh, why did that happen? Oh, well, the police officer never had a gun. Why is there a police officer there with a gun? Why? Well, we have to protect those people. Oh, but your children, you don't have to protect. That's just fine. See, folks, that's where it breaks down for me. You're never going to stop a crazy person. And you're not going to stop a crazy person from getting a gun. So the only thing you can do is eliminate the threat before it becomes toxic. And the way you do that is you have to have someone there who is trained and able to take the threat out before it gets out of hand. And I said, well, we had all the lockdowns and everything. She shot the windows out. Did no one ever think of that? Did no one ever think, well, if they're coming here with a gun, they could just clearly shoot the glass? No, that's too much to think about. No, we can't replace it with a steel door because that would cost too much. Everything costs too much except war. War doesn't cost too much. I'm getting tired of hearing that. Well, I got news. The war has been declared. We're at war. We're at war with a force who wants to literally strip this country of its moral fiber and start over again as some kind of a Sodom and Gomorrah country where everybody's just free to fornicate and do whatever the hell they want and rob and loot and steal and burn houses down and pillage and do whatever they want to do as long as they bow down to the masters who rule over them. And as a reward, hell, if you get thrown in jail, we'll just let you out. Rand Paul, one of Rand Paul's staffers, was stabbed in the head by some crazy man in Washington, D.C., who just barely got out of prison. Just barely. And they say, well, the answer is shorter sentences. What? Shorter sentences. To do what? To let them all back out on the street? Is that an accident? I notice you're not letting any of the people from January 6th back out on the street. I noticed that. People who have attempted to murder police officers, people who have actually attempted to murder their spouses, people who have actually murdered their spouses, back right out on the street. Not the January 6th people, though. They got to rot. Talk about due process. Some of them have been in jail for 2 years and not been charged yet. They've not been charged yet. You think that's not a war? They're letting the criminals back out on the street. In the meantime, the people who said we've had enough of this, we're not going to accept this this nonsense, and went into the Capitol, they're 2 years down the road and not have been charged, but they're still sitting in prison. They've already had a longer sentence than some people who have literally molested your children. And they haven't even been tried yet. Their sentence might just be beginning. We don't know. You might be going away for 10 more years. In the meantime, oh, you sexually molested a 9-year-old? Don't do it again. Here's a psychiatrist you need to talk to once a week for a month, and then to hell with it. That's good enough for them. It's pathetic. But unless you all stand up and say, we've had enough, I want you to understand that if all the citizens in the country of Germany stood up and said, no, no, we're not having this. Nazis be damned, we're not having it. They would have had to stop. Well, what could they do? You can't rule a country if there's nobody in the country to rule. What are you going to do, kill them all? What are you going to do? Throw them all in prison? No. There's nothing you could have done. They would have had to stop. But nobody did, because nobody wanted to be the first. Nobody wanted to be the first one to tell someone, I guess, in this country, if you're seriously thinking about mutilating your body just because sometimes you feel like something of the opposite sex, you need to talk to a psychiatrist. You don't need to talk to a surgeon. Nobody will say that. Why is that unkind? I would think that's the kindest thing to say. Please be sure you're making the right decision. Please go talk to a psychiatrist first. This person, this shooter, had already had mental issues. And I know people are going to say, well, how do they ever get guns legally? Shouldn't that be illegal? Well, they have the mental issues when they got the gun. But even if they did, are you going to sit here and tell me that someone who is so adamant about killing that they actually have a map of the school? Where would you get a map of the school? I don't know. I don't know how you get a floor plan of a school. If that's online, that should be taken off. How the hell do you get a floor plan to a school showing every exit and window and room and everything else? Why is that necessary for the public to have? And how does a private citizen get that? But anyway, if you're that adamant about it, oh, you're not going to go through all the trouble to find out where you can illegally purchase a gun, right? That you're not going to do. Or you're just not going to go in with a machete and start hacking people. You know, there was a guy who just got attacked with a machete the other day. Going to start banning machetes? Damage you could do with a room full of innocent children and a machete? Going to ban gasoline so you can't have a Molotov cocktail? Banning the gun is not the answer, because the gun is not who kills, it's the person. You've got to start understanding that we need to protect ourselves from people. The reason the government is not doing it is some of the government is secretly going nod, nod, wink, wink. They're carrying out our agenda. And what is that agenda? Demoralizing this country. Abolishing it of its faith, abolishing it of its morals and its moral values, and letting it become a cesspool of corruption, debauchery, and flat-out prejudice. No matter how much they say they're diverse, that's just a lie. That's a lie that they tell people. They're the least diverse and inclusive people in the world. Diversity of everything except diversity of thought. If you have diversity of thought, you're out of the club. That is unacceptable to them. I'm going to go to the phones. Tom in New York, are you there?
Hey, Marcus. Yes, I'm here. I want, you know, the listeners to understand my point of view, as unpopular as it may be. But... you know, when representatives want to say the minute something catastrophic happens, like the school shooting, they automatically want to go to gun control. They automatically want to push their agenda for gun control. Okay, so I have a solution. If guns are the problem, then bring back our soldiers from overseas and just send the guns. Why do they need soldiers? If people don't kill people, because that's their, you know, that's their thing. It's guns. It's the guns' fault. And I can name you, I don't know how many representatives and members of government that have armed security guards walking with them 24/7, guarding their houses in gated communities. Outlaw their guns. Outlaw the guns in the banks.
Look, I just went into a hospital to see a sick friend. They have armed guards. They have armed guards at a hospital. Why not your school? Why not? That doesn't send a bad message to your children. I agree with the people who say we shouldn't have to live in a country where we have to do that. You're absolutely right. We shouldn't have to. Unfortunately, we have to face reality, and the reality we're living in is we do have to. We should be able to walk down the streets with see-through pants with money on, with money in every pocket and not get mugged, right? We should be able to walk around with watches that are $5,000 without somebody pulling up and trying to cut your arm off for it. But we don't. So we have to face reality. And until we can get to a point in this country, if ever we do, when we can do some of those things, we have to face reality. And when 50 schools across this country are simultaneously on lockdown because of supposed threat of shooter, you know it's coordinated. There's not 50 crazy people who just say, I think today I'll make a call. Oh, 49 other people did it at the same time? Amazing coincidence. Uh-uh. Don't give me that. That is called a coordinated attack. Now, none of these things occurred. There was no more school shootings. They didn't need there to be any more school shootings. They carried out the one they wanted. Then they followed up with 50 warnings. Just to underline, this could happen to you. Oh, this could happen to you. Don't think you're safe. It could happen to you, too. See what they're doing? And the media is following right along with them, and instead of absolutely denouncing this, they are in some ways almost apologetic to the shooter. They're more worried about you saying, well, the shooter's a man, you know. You can't call him a woman. Let's get that straight. Why? What is that important? There are children dead. Why is that important? Well, that's the most important thing. Why is that the most important thing? And I don't want to be overly dramatic, and I hope I don't come off that way. But this makes me very sad. You have seen the two sides. You have seen a woman who transitioned into a man call her friend or write her friend and say, I am about to do something horrible. There is a reason for it. The reason will become clear. I've left a lot of evidence behind, and it's something I have to do. And march into a school fully knowing that you are going to kill children for no reason. That's one side. That's their side. You know who our side is? A 9-year-old girl who, instead of running and hiding behind her desk, runs to a fire alarm to try to save more people. Two sides. Choose one. When a 9-year-old girl can show you the way and you turn a blind eye to it, I don't know if you can save this country. There's your two sides. There's your good and there's your evil. Make your choice. And I don't want to hear any talking heads tell me it's the gun's fault. I don't want to hear any talking heads tell me we have to acknowledge that person's problems in becoming transgender or that they've been bullied or anything else. I don't want to hear it. That 9-year-old girl was raised to do the right thing. And it probably cost her life. And as much as the cops are heroes for running in there and eliminating that vermin, that 9-year-old girl is more of a hero. Because she's not getting paid to do anything, and she wasn't trained to do anything. She's a 9-year-old girl who normally 9-year-old girls would run and scream and hide under a desk and pretend, you know, close their eyes and pretend it's not happening. She didn't do that. Tried to save as many people as she could. So while one force is trying to kill as many people as they can, there's another force trying to save as many people as they can, and you have to question which side is right. makes me very emotional, so I'm sorry. But I you know what? The day we stop being emotional over 9-year-old children being shot dead is the day this country ends. So you should all be emotional. It's outrageous. It's unacceptable. The war's been declared, and it's time for you to choose a side, and it's time for you to stop being lily-livered about it, and it's time for you to stop worrying about offending everyone and stand up and say, enough is enough. When this manifesto comes out, if it ever does, you will find the following thing. This person killed because they felt that the transgender community was being unfairly targeted by Christians who would not accept them as their chosen gender. And for that, 9-year-old children needed to die. And you're going to call that a rational point of view. And then you're going to have talking heads on the news say, you have to understand their anger and their rage. No, I don't have to understand their anger and their rage. I don't have to understand any of that. And I don't understand it. They're evil, horrible people. I don't have to understand the motivation of someone who points a gun at a 9-year-old girl and blows her away. I don't have to understand that motivation. I know what the motivation is. You're evil. You're a horrible, evil person. Caller, I'm going to give you the final word.
Wow. That is probably the most honest, just the most honest anybody can ever be. And you're 100% correct when you say these people are evil, and the left is, the news talking heads are going right along with it, and that's just as evil. Because what are they going to do to the folks that watch that believe that hang on every word they say? They're encouraging it. So it's, I'll make a comparison. They didn't hesitate to release the manifesto from the Buffalo shooter. Why? Because he was a, quote, white supremacist who killed African Americans in a shopping center. They released his manifesto, but not this one. Why can't you release this one? And give the answer is, oh, because it might give like-minded people the idea
that's what it is. They're afraid because it doesn't fit their agenda, and they fear there's going to be retaliation. But we don't retaliate that way. Now we retaliate by standing up and saying enough is enough.
Enough.